Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Wizards Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Washington. I'm Chris Miller. You know, I didn't mention this one during the first podcast that we did last week, but man, shout out to my guy, Tim Shovers, who produces this podcast on the great music selection. And who could forget the NBA on NBC theme song? I mean, I hearken back to the 90s where MJ was dominating the league and that music would come on for that Sunday noon tip-off and it'd be the Bulls and Knicks.
Tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks.
Wow. Thank you, Tim Shover. Shout out to that, bringing us back to the good old days, the good old 90s for us 40-somethings. All right, on this edition of the podcast, we've got Dwight Howard. Sit down with him when he came here for his introductory press conference. I want to run some of that interview for some of you that missed it. And we're also going to talk to my guy, Webb Wellman, who is a producer, shooter extraordinaire for Ball Is Life. He has documented the basketball journey of one John Wall since he was in high school at Word of God back in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we'll talk to he's not D12 anymore. He's D21, Dwight Howard, since he changed his number. And we're also going to talk to Webb Wellman. All that coming up here on the podcast. But before we get to Dwight Howard, there are a couple of milestones that he's going to actually reach this season with the Wizards that I wanted to bring to your attention. He is 1 point away from 18,000 in his career. Defensive rebounds, he's 28 away from moving to seventh all-time in the NBA in defensive rebounds. Total rebounds, which is a really cool, I think, milestone for him because of the person he's going to surpass. He's 648 rebounds away from moving to 13th all-time, which would pass the great Hakeem Olajuwon. And for Dwight, many of you know Dwight worked out with Hakeem back in the day and really helped him with his low post move. So that would be a really cool milestone for Dwight to surpass the great Hakeem Olajuwon. And finally, Dwight is 36 blocks away from moving to 16th all-time. He would pass George Johnson in that category. So Dwight Howard will be moving up the charts, if you will, this season in his first year with the Wizards. Looking forward to just seeing him playing every night. And again, you know, you'll hear in this interview with Dwight talking about playing with a guy like John Wall, playing with someone like Bradley Beal, having a backcourt all-star duo is something Dwight's never had. And I'm curious just to see how Scott Brooks will integrate all of this once training camp gets started and then ultimately the regular season when it drops on October 18th against the Miami Heat. All right, so sit back and relax. Enjoy my conversation with Dwight Howard.
When Dwight became available, we all felt like he was an outstanding choice for us and someone that could fit in very well with what we're trying to accomplish. Last year, we took a little step back defensively, and we want to improve on that end. And I think Dwight has proven over the years by being a defensive player of the year 3 times already that he can really help on that end.
Big fella, has it hit you yet now that you actually put this uniform on?
It just hit me.
Wow. You're a member of the Washington Wizards after as long as you've been in the league. Mm-hmm. To have this opportunity at this juncture in your career, in your life, how are you embracing this?
Oh, man, open arms, open everything. I'm excited. I think there's going to be a great opportunity. I spoke with a lot of the guys. I've been speaking with Coach and Ernie, and everybody's excited. I'm excited. But I'm just looking forward to really just embracing this community. You know, I have a lot of friends in D.C., and they were super excited to find out that I'll be playing here. So, man, I can't wait.
What motivates Dwight Howard at this point of your life?
Greatness, you know, that's the only thing. Wanting to continue to walk in that path of greatness, despite of what's been said about me, you know, all that stuff is an opinion, you know, but to continue to walk in greatness, continue to hold myself to a high standard, especially when I play this game.
When I've seen you play over the years, and you and I, we've joked in the past when we see each other exchanging pleasantries, I've always appreciated your love of the game and the youthful exuberance in which you go about presenting yourself.
Listen, I want to talk about you blocking that kid's shot. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you know you're in hostile territory?
Well, I'm just having fun.
But for some people, they have taken that kind of the wrong way over the years. Why have you never changed to appease others? Why do you feel like the way you've gone about your game over the years has helped you?
I've been playing this game for a very long time. And one thing I've noticed from the time I started playing till now is that people have always had an opinion and they wanted me to do what they wanted me to do. But doing what they wanted me to do didn't get me to the NBA. You know, so why would I change who I am as a person to appease other people? Because I think who I am as a person has got me to where I am today. You know, so I don't think there's a need to want to become what everybody else wants me to become. The only people that matter as far as their opinions is my children. And to me, to them, I'm the world's greatest father. I'm Superman. I'm the strongest man in the world. And they will tell you this. They will tell anybody that. And that's the only opinion that matters. As a basketball player, you know, I've tried to do what other people have wanted me to do. Not smile, be real mean. But that's not who I am. When I'm enjoying the game, when I'm having fun, that's when I dominate the most.
You actually saw this team in the playoffs the one year you were in Atlanta, and then you saw them all of last year. So you've gotten almost an advanced scout on this team. What do you know about this Washington team, especially the core that's coming back?
Very strong-willed team. A team that is very tenacious on the offensive end. The defensive end is something that I thought was kind of like a weak point when we played them in the playoffs. But I think this season that will totally change, because I think we all understand the importance of defense. Offensively, we're going to be a monster. We have John, starts with him. He's going to be able to provide instant offense for everybody with the way he passes the ball. You got Bradley, who is somebody who can score on the perimeter at any time, and he can also get to the basket and finish. And for me, it's going to open up everybody else's game. You know, so a pick and roll with me and Bradley, you got to really pick your poison. And if Bradley's on fire, you're going to allow him to pass me the ball to where I get a wide open dunk. That's hard.
That's over.
And then you got me and John Wall in a pick and roll. Same thing.
Pick your poison.
But the focus for us has to be defense. If our offense is flowing the way it's supposed to flow, we will spend more energy on the right end of the floor, which is playing defense. And when we do that, everybody has confidence in each other. We're top three in the East.
That was going to be my next question. What's the best case scenario you seeing how this season can unfold?
I really believe that we can be one of the top three teams in the East. I know a lot of people are counting us out, and we really have to prove ourselves, which is great. I think it's great that we don't allow what people say to affect us this year. Because if we come in and everybody's telling us how good we are, then we could lax. But if we come in with the mindset that we have to prove ourselves to the world, that's going to make us so much better.
All right, we appreciate Dwight Howard for his time as he's getting ready for his first season with the Wizards. His relationship with John will be one that will be chronicled throughout the year. Again, as I said to Dwight, he's never played with a point guard like this, and I'll be interested to see if we can get that old Dwight back playing with a five-time All-Star. Well, joining me now is somebody that knows the five-time All-Star before he was a five-time All-Star. He was just a skinny kid from Raleigh, North Carolina, before even becoming the number one recruit in the country. Webb Wellman, you might know him from Ball Is Life East. He is a shooter. Let me make sure, Webb, I get this right. You a shooter. You can produce. You edit. You create the content. You distribute the content. Is there anything that you don't do from a media standpoint?
I don't take L's. That's what I don't do.
No L's. Thanks for joining me, brother, on the Wizards Talk podcast. How are you?
I appreciate you having me on, man. I'm good and getting better.
Yeah, man. Webb is a fellow North Carolinian, and I'd be remiss if I didn't send our prayers to all of our friends and family down there.
Especially my Kinston folks. Kinston is getting hit pretty hard right now. That's my hometown, so definitely send some prayers out. Some prayers out to the folks in Kinston.
Love East to my family down there in Wilmington that's trying to get out of there. It's been tough, but we move on and we wish them well. So, Webb, you have been in John Wall's orbit for how long?
I met John in 2007.
Wow.
It was a lucky accident. I knew that he was a top recruit, top in the area, and he was playing right up the road from me, and it was just taking the initiative to grab a video camera I had and go see what could happen. Played their first game, and he threw it off the backboard to himself. A dude fell in the game. It was exactly the way it should have been. Threw a video on the internet. The next day, got a phone call from the director of their AAU team, and I followed them from basically that moment on.
To know Webb's work, all you have to do is go back to, I think this is John's senior year, the mixtape.
The first mixtape I produced of him was the summer before his senior year, and then, all the way through his senior year, we did a series of tapes, and then the compilation of it all was unbelievable.
Take me back, because I didn't meet John until the Combine in Chicago, and he had already played at Kentucky that one year, and he had already had a following. But I want to ask someone that was pretty much a day one when it comes to John Wall, the basketball player. When did you know that you were recording something special?
See, that's interesting, because that was, like, I played high school basketball in North Carolina, mm-hmm. But it was small and not at all on the scale. Like, I think I played against one guy that ended up going and playing Division I basketball. So when I first started with the video cameras, my thought process was I'm going to produce highlight videos and sell to the parents, go to private schools, go to the higher-end public schools, and build up that way.
Right.
And then when I saw John and I followed them for that first summer, I realized that it was like, this is college basketball. Early, you know, and when you find the elite competition, you're really watching. Like, that time, the first summer I went with them to Peach Jam in Vegas, I mean, I filmed Avery Bradley, filmed DeMarcus Cousins, I filmed John, I filmed a handful of NBA guys. So to answer your question, like, I knew John was really good. After that Vegas trip where they lost one game, they basically ran the table, only lost one game the whole time, won two championships. I knew he was a pro. Mm-hmm. And the guy who brought me on was telling me, like, no, he's the number one pick. He is going to be special. And John never disappointed. I mean, I bought into that right away because John never gave me a reason not to. You know, I always think back to when he was in high school. I was a college student. I was, you know, trying to figure my life out at 20 years old.
Right.
I hit him up one time to say, "Hey, man, I can't make the game tonight. You know, I'm busy. I need to not make the game tonight. Like, you think it's all right if I miss it?" And he said, "I'm going to get a triple double." And I said, "Okay, I'll be there." 42 points and a triple double later, I left that gym thinking, I'm never missing another game, this dude. And I hadn't up to that point, but it was just the fact that I even thought I might miss one. He was must-see TV, and it was the way he carried himself and the way he's the benchmark now. And when I saw Dennis Smith come through this time around from middle school on, I knew as soon as I saw that kid play, I knew that he's next.
Yeah.
And John was even more special than that at that time.
Well, I can just tell you, as being a fellow North Carolinian, we've had some pretty good players come through the state.
Michael Jordan with 45 points.
When he went to Kentucky, I mean, he's playing with Bledsoe,
yep.
Boogie. He's playing with, you know, guys, other guys on the team that made, you know, the NBA. Were you ever surprised by some of the things that he would do in games at Kentucky? Because I remember the Carolina game for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. Wall makes a cut to the hoop. Oh, no! What a play!
And he cramped up. And he tells this. He will tell you the same story. You know it's true because the details are true. He will continuously tell me about how bad he wanted to just beat Carolina. Because
if you go back and watch that game, because I've used highlights from that game and some content we've shot, if you go back and watch the way he acts during that game, it is very obvious that he had a point to prove.
Yes.
Every bucket, he is just letting you know this is his gym.
The staring at Roy Williams to me was kind of the funny part, because it's like, if you know the backstory behind that, like, he totally wanted to go there. And the fact that he went to Kentucky, and he his 1 year at Kentucky, they would play Carolina in his building in Lexington. He was all in. All right, I want to advance this story a little bit. When did the relationship between you and John come to a place where you ended up really kind of visually documenting his life?
He started his AAU team. I don't want to be wrong about this, but I think 4 years
about ago. Right.
Kendrick Williams will have my head if I don't have that right. I think it was 4 years
And he
ago.
Will be listening to this podcast.
100%. Shout out to Coach K. He brought me on to cover that first year. I made a documentary building it around two guys. They had a really good team that year. Three guys went high-level Division I. Kyron Bowman at Boston College was kind of – I saw him as being the difference maker. Mm-hmm. In terms of the content and kind of where everyone else was headed. I did a really, not to toot my own horn, I did a really good job with that content based on what else was out there mm-hmm. at that level. And so the next year it was basically John saying, I want you to rock with me and less, you know, you do what you do with me and capture my life. And, you know, honestly, the concept wasn't even about public consumption of the content. It was about him becoming an older man later in life. Mm-hmm. And instead of him telling his grandkids all these amazing stories about the life he lives, which is a life that no one lives. Right.
There's visual proof to it.
Right. That not only can I show you photos, but I can take it a step further. And like, I can show you a video. Hey, Webb, I want to tell my kids about the time we went so-and-so or went, you know, I met Lil Wayne or whatever. Can you put together or something for me? You know, I put it together, I give it to him, and now he's kind of got resources to even telling Brad about his house. You know, they're in the locker room and he's telling Brad about his place in Miami. And he's like, hey, Webb, do you have a video that we can show Brad? And at the time I didn't, because when I asked if we should shoot the house, he was like, nah, let's keep it low key. And I said that, he just laughed like, okay, yeah, we probably should have done that. For that exact reason, he's telling Brad about the house. And instead of telling him, it's like, boom, let me show you this video and you can just see it.
The one thing I try to tell people when they ask me about John is they're like, what's he like? And it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Is did you watch that interview or did you hear the audio from whatever or did you see him? Yeah. That's who he is.
Right. I don't think I
every
can do,
day. Yeah. There's not one day where he's not who he is.
I think if you were to ask everyone who does what I do, with the creation of content, you would think that like what I do is a dream job. You know, ultimately, I'm working for my job is to please one player. You know, if John is happy, I'm doing my job. Right. I could not do this for any player. I live with him essentially. I'm around all the time. The reason it works is because strip away everything John has, strip away everything I have. We are very similar people. Very, very similar, a little bit introverted, very capable of being social and being extroverted if we need to be, very passionate, tunnel vision on things we know we want. He's a little bit more hard-headed and argumentative than me.
No,
but he's also way more competitive than me. But I mean, that's the thing. Like when people ask me, like, what's he really like? He's a real dude. And if he wasn't, I could never do what I do, ever. It wouldn't work. I've told you before we got on the pod, I haven't been home since June.
Yeah.
And there's lots of benefits for me being here. But at the end of the day, I can do this because he is a friend. And he is somebody that I trust. And I know that he is going to take care of me in the same way that I'm going to take care of him and the people that are around him.
It's interesting when you think of content creation today, right, in 2018. The old school journalist in me is like, there has to be this separation, right? Mm-hmm. There's got to be, if there's news, you got to talk about the news, and you have to be critical, you have to do that. But in this day and age of where our business is going, if you don't have relationships with these players and have the ability to tell their story,
right,
you're not going to get access.
No.
Because more times than not, these athletes are very guarded.
Yep.
So if you don't have something that you can bring to the table to actually show them that you can do, you're going to have difficulty. Have you ever been in a situation in terms of your content where you were like, you know what, this is good content, but let me make sure he's cool with it?
There's things. So when I send him rough drafts of the episode, sometimes there'll be things in it where I'm like, he might have me take this out. It's usually simple stuff. Like sometimes I won't even be thinking, but I'll put a Nike player in the video. And where he's at right now with Adidas, like, if we can avoid that, we should probably avoid that. And so I don't necessarily think about things like that. My whole thing is just like, and even the concept of gotcha journalism in general, it's like, if you know these guys, if you know where they come from, if you know what they've been through, like, I'll get emotional even just talking about, like, they have the ability to change generations. And I take that very seriously. I know what they fought for. I know what they've sacrificed. And so it's like, if my job is to get clicks, I'm doing something wrong. If my job is to maximize someone else's story and tell it properly and get the most positive attention that I can for that project, I can wake up every day living a happy life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the major difference is people see that with media, you've got to get attention. And so you're willing to do whatever it takes to get the attention, but you're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about who's going to pick up my phone calls.
Yeah, it might work in that 24-hour news cycle, but what are you going to do
when you
hour 25?
That's right. And what are you going to do when that feeling of satisfaction from the views and the hits goes away and you're looking at your portfolio and you got just a bunch of garbage?
Yeah.
You know, my thing is I'm proud of everything I've ever done, even if it's not great and it could be way better. I know that I'm doing good work for the right reasons. And I think that's, again, like I said, we were speaking earlier before this. Like, to me, it's all about being organic. I approach things from a Casey Neistat perspective. I'm not trying to create perfect content. I'm trying to create a perfect story. And sometimes the content is not great, but it's necessary to tell the true part of the story. And where a lot of old folks, old age media guys will go is if it's not quality content, they'll leave it out at the expense of truly telling the story.
Well, you should probably research what kids are consuming today.
Right.
You know, we were talking about that before. Let me ask you one thing about when you're in the moment and you're shooting something and you have a moment where you step back and go, man, that was cool. Has there been that moment when you're around John and you're documenting, you know, his life where you go, I'm in the building with this guy and this situation?
Yeah, every few weeks. Yes. I'm a normal guy.
You still get that wild moment.
I'm a normal guy. I'm a basketball fan. So, yeah, I have that happen all the time. I just have to act like it's nothing. So the most recent, I'm working on episode 6 right now. And in episode 6, we shot something, Bleacher Report shot with Lil Wayne and John. Lil Wayne's John's favorite rapper. Yep. Lil Wayne is my favorite rapper. I survived on his music in college. I find things out real last minute. So, like, the night before, I find out this is happening. And we show up, and they allow me to shoot everything.
You got no sleep that night before, did you?
No, absolutely not. Because the other thing is, like, I don't know how it's going to go. So, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to mic guys. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have lights. Like, I have no clue how it's going to flow.
Before you tell the rest of the story, I'm curious. because we're in this business together, and we like to have a plan going in, mm-hmm. you know, conceptually what you want it to look like and stuff like that. But when you get like last second, isn't that almost the beauty of it? Is because now you've got to think on your feet.
I mean, yes and no. I'm a planner. Right. So like I like to know I can do a better job having more notice. But even when I have a bunch of notice and planning, like, yeah, at the end of the day, a lot of things are just going to happen off the cuff. Mm-hmm. But there's been times where, like, I wished I had a lav mic. I wish I had a LED light to throw on. Simple stuff that I don't have because I don't know what we're doing. I've learned that it's provided me with a new skill set to be able to take things off the cuff and just run with it, because that's how I live my life now for 3 months. I don't know anything until it happens and as it's happening. So the Lil Wayne thing, that blew my mind. That's something that even now when I think about it, or I'll go look at my Instagram pictures from it, I'm like, what in the world?
What just happened?
Last summer, shooting with LeBron for 2 hours. No one told me not to, or don't shoot this, don't shoot that, don't do this, don't do that. Like, after the workout, I went to LeBron's people and I said, look, man, thank you. Like, I know you did not have to let me shoot this. And the response I get 100% of the time when I say that is, you're John's guy. You're good.
Yeah.
And it's because they trust him and they know that if I'm with him, then I've got some sort of trust equity, because there's no way I'd be with him if he didn't trust me and know that like what I was going to do was going to be on the up and up.
Hey man, again, I appreciate you coming in. Hey man,
they're kicking me out of the building already. They got me in here for a couple hours. They're just going to send me on my way.
Let people know how they can follow you on all your platforms.
You can find me on Twitter. That's where I really need you. If you're on Twitter, please follow me at Ball is Life East. Ball is Life East. I'm at about 9,400. I need that 10K.
Let's get that up.
Yeah,
let's
I need that 10K. You can find me on Instagram. I'm actually going to give out my personal because I want to see what kind of I really want to see what kind of attention we get from this. So
yeah, let's do that.
Follow me on Instagram at Webb Wellman. That's WebbWellman. First time I've ever spelled that for public consumption. And then YouTube, just make sure to check out Ball is Life. That's the majority of my quality content will have my name on it. But at the end of the day, we're in D.C. right now, so just make sure you're watching John.
Yeah.
Go Google search or YouTube search John Wall Summer of Separation and send it to your friends, send it to your family. I really want to get those numbers up as much as possible, because the more attention it gets, the more we can build with it.
When does episode 6 drop?
If I have it my way, it'll be dropping Wednesday or Thursday.
All right.
Realistically, we'll have to get John's approval, so hopefully we'll get it out before the weekend. We got episode 6 coming up this week. Hopefully we top out with 10 episodes this season. Tip off of game 1 being when all this will end.
October 18th against the Miami Heat at Capital One Arena. This is Webb Wellman in the building with your boy. Ball is Life.
I appreciate you, Chris. Thanks, I appreciate everyone for checking us out, and hopefully you'll be seeing and hearing more of me pretty soon.
My man. All right, so thanks to Webb. Thanks to Dwight Howard. Before we get out of here, here are a couple of storylines that I'm going to follow once training camp starts next week. At number 5 is balancing the hype versus substance. You know, the Wizards players throughout the summer have told me that, you know, they're tired of talking. They want to be a team that's just about, like, the action on the floor. So I'm curious to see how this team this year manages a lot of hype around them, a lot of expectations, and also just the substance of just doing the proof of performance on the floor. At number 4, it is the Wild Wild East. This year, we all know Boston is probably preseason the head of the class, clearly having Kyrie Irving and Gordon Haywood back in the mix with a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals without them, with Kyrie going down late in the season with the knee injury, and then Gordon obviously getting injured just the first couple of minutes into the first game of the regular season last year against the Cavs. The Celtics are loaded. I think bringing Marcus Smart back was smart for Boston. The fact that you've got Terry Rozier in that backcourt also. They're a loaded basketball team with a quality head coach, so I think Boston is right really at the top. And then after that, there's a conversation I think you can legitimately have between Toronto, Philly, and the Wizards. I think you could put Indiana in there also, because I think Oladipo and I think that team with Nate McMillan will take another step. Nate McMillan talked about in Media Day his team wants to get better in terms of rebounding the basketball. When you've got Miles Turner there, I think the Pacers are a team that could be in that conversation. But definitely the Wizards. And I feel like the Sixers, There's a lot of hype around them also, but they lost some pieces. When you lose shooters on a team that's based on shooting, I think that's going to be difficult. But you still have Simmons and Embiid. I think they're going to take another step. And the real key for me, I think, for Philly is the X factor is Markelle Fultz. We've not seen a lot of what his jump shot looks like. I don't know if this is planned so they can just launch it in the regular season. But Fultz's ability to shoot, I think, will help Philly losing Bellinelli and losing Ilyasova. If Fultz can find his shot again working with Drew Hanlon in the summer, Philly will be in the conversation. And then there's Toronto. Clearly, Kawhi Leonard, if healthy, would be probably one or two of the best players in the Eastern Conference. Him and I think Giannis are at the top of the spear. But there's also the Kyle Lowry impact of how he reacts to not having his best friend in the backcourt with him anymore. But they still have a lot of talent. They have a new coach, but a lot of those players that got ultimately swept by the Cavaliers last year will be back. So I feel like Toronto, Philly, Washington, and Indiana, I think, are in the conversation for the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. Number three for me is the supporting cast improvements for the Wizards. When you can bring a Jeff Green, you can bring in an Austin Rivers. I think even on the back end of the rotation, drafting Troy Brown, having Tomas Satoransky come back, and he's looked really good playing overseas in the offseason. You now have some quality depth on the bench where I feel like the Wizards can manage an injury, not a catastrophic injury, but manage an injury this year with the depth that they have. And it gives Scott Brooks a lot of versatility. There are a lot of lineups. If you want to match up with Golden State with their depth lineup, I mean, the Wizards have a lot of options of going small. So I think the supporting cast improvements will help Washington be a better team this year. And we talked about Dwight Howard. What will his impact be arriving in the district, entering his 15th year? He's 32 years old. Just keep this in mind. There was a game last year, late in the season, where Dwight Howard dropped 32 points and 30 rebounds on the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, there's a 30-30 night in a Hornets win. Folks, wake up the kids. You may never see something like it again. The Hornets come back from a 23-point deficit, and we witness a 30-30 game for the future Hall of Famer Dwight Howard.
Now, many of you will say, well, it's the Brooklyn Nets, Chris. 32 and 30 is hard to do in any league, let alone doing it in the NBA. So I still think Dwight has those games in him where he can just be a dominant force. But on this team, he doesn't have to be the dominant force every night. Again, the balance of Wall, Beal, Porter, Markieff, and the bench, I think will help Dwight manage some of those games. But I still think he has those dominant nights in him. And the number one storyline before we get out of here is lucky number seven of the Wall and Beal era. This will be the seventh year this backcourt has been together. And the time of talking about them being young and learning how to be leaders, those days are over. When you are entering your seventh year of working together in the backcourt, I think health being a major priority here. If those guys can stay healthy, they are all-star talent. They're one of the better backcourts in the league. This could be a really good year for Wall and Beal to ascend to another level. I think Brad making it to an all-star game and playing 82 games and having to be the guy last year when John was out is a really good thing for John to see now coming in, knowing that both guys are all healthy. They both want to be the guy, but share that. If they share it, and if they hold teammates accountable, this could be a really good year. All right, so that'll do it for this edition of the Wizards Talk podcast. Thanks again for Dwight Howard, Webb Wellman for joining me. Next week, I'll be talking to Scott Brooks. I cannot wait to get his take on dealing with this kind of roster, this kind of adversity. Well, not adversity, this kind of expectations, if you will, as we go into this season with the Washington Wizards. All right, thanks everybody for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next week.